This is Tiffany Liao reading from pages 238 to 241 from Special Topics in Calamity Physics by Marisha Pessel with one text cut for time. Well, it just so happened, hello, my name is Larson, was a kid Dad took to like a Suriname cockroach bat droppings. He was one of those unsinkable 18-year-olds, with a hardy boy face no one had anymore, all freckles and gee-whiz grin, thick brown hair that grew on his face like an urn plant, and a lanky body in constant motion, as if he were being operated by a ventriloquist on speed. See Chapter 2, Charlie McCarthy, The Puppets That Changed Our Lives, Mesh, 1958. Dad found Larson wondrous, and that was the thing with Dad. He'd teach modes of mediation to 1,000 John Dorys he was barely able to stomach, and then he'd pay a kid for berry-flavored Tums and fall head over heels, declaring him a veritable dolphin who'd spiral through the air when you whistled. Now that's a promising young man, said Dad. I'd exchange every happy, sleepy, and doc to teach him. He has spark. You don't find that often. If it ain't the girl, the Dad, announced the story in her calm. Ain't it past your bedtime? Doused in the dead light of the food mart, I felt absurd. My feet hurt. I was wearing an overcooked marshmallow, and my face, I could see it plainly in reflective shelving, was decaying by the minute into an unstable mess of crusty tears and bad makeup. See Radon 221, Questions of Radioactivity, Johnson 1981, page 120. I was also festooned with 1 billion pine needles. Come on over here and say hello. What you doing out so late? Reluctantly, I made my way to the cashier window. Larson was wearing jeans and a red t-shirt that read, Mean Reds, and he was grinning. And that was the thing with Larson. He was one of those people who grinned all the time. He had ticklish eyes, too, which had to explain the multitude of nutty-eyed peanut butter parfaits starring all over his food mart on any given night. Even when you were standing in front of his window innocuously paying for gas, his eyes, the clear-cut color of milk chocolate or mud, had a way of oozing all over you, so you couldn't help but have a feeling he was seeing something private about you. You stark naked, for example, or you saying humiliating things in your sleep, or worst of all, you and your favorite dumb fantasy, in which you walked on a red carpet and wore a long beaded gown everyone took great pains not to step on. Let me guess, he said, boyfriend trouble. Oh, I had a fight with my dad. I sound like scrunched aluminum foil. Yeah, saw him the other day. Came by with his girlfriend. They broke up. He nodded. Hey, Diamante, go get her a Slurpee. What, said Diamante, making a sour face. 70-ounce, any flavor, on me. Sure, Larson said, shaking his head. Old mans, they can be tough. When I was 14, my pops cleared out. Left me nothing but work boots and a subscription to People magazine, I kid you not. 2 years, did nothing but glance over my shoulder, looking for him every place. Think I'd see him cross the street, passing by on a bus, and I'd tail a bus one end of town to the other, thinking it was him, waiting like a crazy man, just for him to get out at the stop. Only when he got out, it was somebody else's old man, one mine. Things turned out, though, what he did. Best thing ever happened to me. Want to know why? I nodded. He leaned down, hitching his elbows on the counter. Because of him, I can play King Lear. What flavor? Yelled Diamante by the Slurpee machine. What flavor? Asked Larson. Without blinking, he recounted the names like an auctioneer overseeing a livestock sale. Root beer, blue bubblegum, 7-Up, 7-Up Tropicale, Grape or Melon, Crystal Light, Nana Split, Code Red, Livewor. Root beer's fine, thanks. Lady without shoes would like root beer, he said to the intercom. King, what did you say? I asked. He grinned, revealing two severely crooked front teeth, one peeking out from behind the other, as if it had stage fright. Lair, Shakespeare personage. Contrary to popular belief, person needs heartbreak and betrayal, else you got no staying power. Can't play a lead for 5 whole acts, can't play 2 performances in a day, can't fashion a character arc from point A to point G, can't get through the denouement, create a convincing through line, all that stuff. See what I'm saying? Person's gotta get banged up, gotta get jerked around and lived in, so he's got something to use, see? Hurts like hell, sure. Feels bad, not sure you want to go on, but that gives way to what they commonly call emotive resonance. And emotive resonance makes it impossible for people to take their eyes off of you when you're on stage. Ever turn around a good movie and seen the faces? Pretty intense. I stared up at him. Dad was right. There was something riveting about the kid. It was his outdated earnestness, the way his eyebrows did the polka when he talked, and his mountain accent, which made the words jut out like pointy, slippery rocks on which you might get hurt. It was also the thousands of copper freckles dusting him head to toe, as if he'd been dipped in glue and then in fine, penny iridescent confetti. See, he said, leaning in and widening his eyes, you ain't felt pain, you can only play yourself, and that ain't gonna move people. Maybe you're good for toothpaste, hemorrhoid commercials and such, but that's it. You'll never be a legend in your own time. Ain't that what you want to be? Diamante shoved the gigantic Slurpee into my hands and resumed her droop by the greeting cards. Now, Larson said, slapping his hands together, you gotta tell us what your name is. Blue. Gotta tell us, Blue. Came to my doorstep tonight in your hour of need. What do we do now? I looked from Larson to Diamante, back to Larson again. What do you mean? I asked. He shrugged. You turn up on a dark, stormy night at, he glanced at his watch, 2:06. He peered at my feet and nodded. No shoes. It's what they call dramatic action. It's what happens in the beginning of a scene. He stared at me, his face grave as any photo of Sun Yat-sen. Gotta tell us if we're in a comedy, or a melodrama, or who did it, or what they call a theater of the absurd. You just can't leave us standing on stage with no dialogue. I was aware of a certain convenience store calm coursing through me, steady and ho-hum as the thrum of the beer fridge. Where I wanted to go, whom I had to talk to, was plain as the mirrored windows, the display of gum and batteries, diamantes, hoop earrings. It's a whodunit, I said, and I was wondering if I could borrow your car.